I'm just so passionate about like people focusing on food, water, and shelter. Mm-hmm. Shelter is your home. Shelter is your environment. Shelter is like where you're raising your kids. It's where you're spending time with your husband. It's where you're like relaxing at the end of the day. And why would we make our home taxing us? It's like with your food. If you want to eat healthy food that's good for your body, why would you have your home not good for your brain, which is then not good for your body because of the stress? Uh-huh.
My name is Lisa, mother of 8 and creator of the blog and YouTube channel Farmhouse on Boone. Join me as I share with you my love for creating a handmade home from scratch cooking and a little mom and entrepreneur life along the way. All right, I am back. I know that none of you have missed an episode because we have been posting every week just like usual, but I actually stopped recording in November. We were able to get a whole bunch of episodes recorded. My podcast managers had a new baby, and so we just had a very long extended break for Christmas. I loved it, actually, not having any recordings for 2 months. So to you, yes, I've been podcasting this whole time, but to me, this is my first one back after the new year, so there's going to be a quicker turnaround on episodes. If it felt like some of the episodes had references to things that were wrong with the current time it came out, that's why. But we are back to our regular schedule for 2024. And this first episode that I'm recording in 2024 is going to be a very good one because I am speaking with Robin from Minimalist Home. And we're talking about minimizing and taking control of our houses and how often the overwhelm with caring for your home really can just come down to not the number of kids, not the number of meals you're cooking, but the amount of things that are in your home. It can, of course, be attributed to those other factors too. But I know for me that the times whenever I cannot feel like I'm doing anything in my home except for cleaning it all day long, it's usually because I have been bad about managing the amount of things that are in it. So after Christmas and all of the things, it's time to peel some things back and minimize and get control of it. And Robin has some really great inspiration for that. She shares on her YouTube channel, Minimalist Home, and her blog, her website, minimalisthome.ca, all about this topic. She's very good at helping you realize the mental game behind decluttering and why it's difficult, but how you can get it done without it being overwhelming. So let's welcome on Robin from Minimalist Home. Robin, thank you so much for joining me here. I'm really excited to have you on. And the topic we're going to talk about is something that's really been like very at the forefront of my mind right now. And I've been minimizing absolutely everything. I don't know what's with January, but let's start with introduction. So tell us about you and your mission on the internet, where everybody can find you and all that good stuff.
Awesome. My name is Robin. I have a YouTube channel called Minimalist Home, and I have been practicing minimalism for about 4 or 5 years now.
Awesome. Okay. So what started that for you? What was it out of like something you always did, or was it more like out of stress and overwhelm that you went in that direction?
You know, it's a funny story because I grew up in the 80s and the 90s, and that was a time where there was just a lot of consumption. And it was funny because, you know, I was always like, oh, I've got to organize. And I would always go like straight to the kids' toys and just like declutter a bunch of their toys. And like, there was one time where like all these boxes of toys were like stacked outside our front door waiting for their donation place to come and get them. And my mom was like, that's so mean. Your kids are just like looking at their toys there. And I am a nurse, and I was working in the emergency department, and I would come home to a cluttered, messy house. And when you leave a chaotic environment like that, you just want to come home and just like snuggle your kids. Like it's a traumatic place to work. I don't even work there anymore. But I just was like, oh, like I'm overwhelmed. And I would be grumpy with the family and trying to clean and declutter, or not declutter, trying to clean and organize. And then I read an article, I think it was about 5 or 6 years ago, right around Christmas. And it had said about how clutter is harder on women than it is on men. And it said that because we feel like we can never relax. And I was like, oh my gosh, that is so true. And since then, I've been doing research, and they're, you know, measuring the stress hormone cortisol in our bloodstream. It's much higher in women when we're in a cluttered environment than it is in men. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, yes. So I started decluttering my house, and immediately everybody started feeling better. Mm-hmm. And I just never looked back.
Yeah. Well, what I find, I've been thinking a lot about this lately, pondering it a lot. Obviously, we just had the Christmas and all of that. And so we end up with some extra stuff, at least we do in our home. And I've been thinking about how we're almost the generation that probably struggles with this the most, because it wasn't too long before us that goods became really cheap. Actually, it was probably even in our lifetime. I was born in 1985, and we were looking at catalogs from the 90s, and the items that were in the catalog, even not for inflation-adjusted dollars, just dollars, was more expensive when we were kids than it is now. So stuff has become really easy to come by, extremely cheap. This is all from globalization, and there's like a bunch of economic factors that go into all of this. But we still hold on to this stuff is kind of hard to come by mindset. If you're under the age of 40, maybe not. If you're over the age of 40, or I'm, you know, near 40, you kind of still have that left over. So I wonder if moms who are like 22, 23 right now are going to struggle with the clutter problem as much as we do, because we are in this weird time frame where we still like have the influences in our lives. Like my grandma told me about the Great Depression. She was born in a year that she remembers the Great Depression. She told me about it. She's passed away since. So we have like the influences of those people in our lives. We have the way everything changed, and probably the way, you know, we outsourced everything to China sometime in our lives, like not that long ago. And so we have that. And then yet we have so much stuff because it is so easy to come by. Those two things together are a huge problem. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. And that's actually one of the things that I talk about the most, is that we are, I think most people like our age group, I'm a bit older than you, but for me, it's my grandparents were raised during the Great Depression. And then my mom, you know, she's their child. And she always says, you know, you keep things for good. And I remember like under our stairs at our house, there was always like, just like this growing pile of boxes. We didn't even have like that much clutter as a kid, but there were like garbage bags full of stuffed animals. And it was like, you just, people didn't even think that decluttering was a thing. It was like, it just didn't even exist.
And they might not have needed to.
Right.
Because it was hard to acquire things. So they wouldn't have gone through their lives with the amount of acquiring that we do. And so they didn't maybe necessarily need this minimalist kick in the butt, like, this is what you should do. But then we're in this weird spot where we have that speaking into us, but yet the amount of stuff that comes in, like, yeah, you were saying they kept those trash bags full of stuffed animals. That might've been all the stuffed animals they ever got. Can you imagine if you never got rid of a stuffed animal, what that would look like in your house?
Yeah. It's very interesting because my grandparents, they just moved out of their house a few years ago. So they've just celebrated their 60th anniversary, and there was so much stuff, and they were always at each other about, you know, decluttering their own stuff. Their garage you could not park in. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of stuff, and they had accumulated everything throughout their lifetime. And some of the things my grandma still had in boxes, their house was not cluttered. It sounds cluttered, but they had just really made very good use of their storage because it just wasn't something that you would do. Mm-hmm. And I 100% agree. Right now, I think consumption is at a very interesting time. And I think that historically people, if you know, if you went back in time and you tried to explain minimalism to people, they'd be like, what are you talking about? Like, this doesn't even make sense. Like, of course we just like have what we need.
Yeah. It wouldn't have made any sense. Yeah. It's such a modern problem. And I think people need to hear that because in some ways there's a little bit of guilt associated with this topic. Like, even talking about getting rid of some of the things that we have to talk about. And I watch your channel and I watch Dawn from Minimal Mom and Clutterbug. I find all of this very fascinating. And I notice a lot of disclaimers throughout the content. They're like, I know you're probably not going to like this, but I'm going to put this in the trash. And I know you're probably not going to like this, but I'm going to be donating this. Because there's almost like a holiness associated with keeping and being, you know, resourceful. And I completely understand that. I'm kind of held in the balance of that is a value, but that was not like with the world that we're in today, it's so different. And so we can't, like, there's all these tips right now about like depression era. They did this, they did that. And people are like, keep all of your yogurt containers. And in today's day and age, just things are just so darn easy to come by. Everybody's passing things around. They're trying to give all of their junk away to other people. I don't even like the way that it is, but it is this way. And so we have to figure out how we can still love our homes through all of that, you know?
Yeah, I think actually decluttering to other people is a really big problem. So often people, when they are decluttering, and this will often be something that like your mom or your aunt will be like, oh, I was decluttering and I thought I would give these things to you.
Yes.
And yet it's like, that is it's so for me on my channel and in my membership and on my blog now, I talk about how to parse out the emotional things, because so much of it is like, if I give this to my daughter, then I'm not getting rid of it. People, they put all of these attachments and these expectations mm-hmm. and these beliefs onto items. And these items are not, they're not you, they're not your memories. And yet people feel like they are. And so if I just pass this on, then I don't have to have that guilt. And it's like decluttering baby clothes is a painful thing. Like I've got three teenage boys, and if I go back and I look at their baby clothes, like I keep a few things, but you know, I'm never like, oh yay, I'm getting rid of this baby thing that was my son's, but I'm making a decision like, okay, I have to pass this on. And yeah, it definitely can be a struggle to sort of decide like, what should I keep? Because of, you know, like I want to keep my house minimal, but at the same time, mm-hmm. I want to be prepared. You know, I live in an earthquake zone, so I don't want there to be mm-hmm. an earthquake happen and I'm not ready.
Yeah. Well, I consider myself fairly good at this because it's something I've been trying to do for the last 15 years. But I even watched the videos on YouTube where it's like 500 things to declutter. And there are so many things in there that I'm like, oh yeah, why do I have that? Why is that still sitting there? I haven't touched that in a year. And so I consider my mm-hmm. house minimal, and yet there are still too many things in it that I need to manage. And when you really think about the amount of overwhelm that we have as moms, especially moms with young kids, it can stem back to just simply having way too many things to manage. I was over at my sister's the other day, and we were in one of her little kids' rooms, and she brought out the little bin that their clothes go in. And it was a bin, like, if you're not watching, I'm like trying to motion here, like 12 by 12, I don't know. And she had one for her 6-year-old, one for her 3-year-old, and one for her 1-year-old. And their clothes just fit in this. And she said, I just got rid of everything else. That way I never have too much laundry. I never am looking for like what thing is nice, you know, why are they wearing sweatpants? It's just all like decently nice. And a few nice shirts are actually hanging up in the closet. But like the stuff that's there every day, it looks decent. There's no holes. There's no, you know, tears. It's all very seasonally appropriate. And then she pulled out his little bin of books. And I'm like, yes, why do I have 100 books in my kids' rooms? I consider myself pretty minimal. They're all good books. We read books every single night. But like she said, books are really easy to come by. People are always giving me books. So whenever I need new books, I'll just take the books and I'll either get some from a friend or we'll trade, or I'll bring them up to the donation shop and I'll pick up a few more for 50 cents each. I'll replace this little box of books. I don't find myself ever putting away books. And I'm like, that is like, how much of my life do I waste putting books back up on a bookshelf? So, you know, you can see why it's so important, but it can be overwhelming, right? Like actually doing this.
Yeah, it's so funny you say that, because I just think, because I didn't start minimalism until my youngest was probably like 8 or 9. So I was further past like the little kid phase. But if I could go back mm-hmm. in time, things would be so different. But mm-hmm. overwhelm is a really big thing when people are decluttering. And this is actually where a lot of people get stuck, because we just look around and we go like, oh my gosh, like I I don't know where to start. And we just sort of like start here and we start there. And there's no real like rhyme or reason to it. And I just think like, okay, like first of all, just choose an area and start there and just say, like, I'm just going to do like 5 minutes, 15 minutes, just right. whatever, just to get a little bit done and consistently chip away at it.
Yeah.
And if you just, and don't even look at the big picture. The other thing I love to do is take before photos. And it's like, you know, if you've ever like after Christmas and you're like, oh, I'm going to like get a little bit fit and you take like before photos in your bikini and you're like, oh my gosh, it's like that with clutter. Yeah. Just do it. And then later you can look at those pictures and you can see how far you've come.
Yes. Yes.
Like if we're going on a journey and you turn around and you go, like, have you ever like gone for a hike and then you look back and you're like, oh my gosh, like, look how far we've come. That's a great thing to do. And then it can help with that overwhelm.
Yeah. And I like to keep it to as a continual habit and mindset. So we always have at all times a trash bag sitting by the back door. So whenever you're, you know, going through the drawer and you're just getting out a cup measurer for doing your, you know, bread or whatever, and you see something there and you're like, why is that always there? You just take it and you put it in that bag. Or whenever you're in your kid's room mm-hmm. and you found a piece of clothing, you're like, why is this 2T in here? You're 4. Take it right then. Like, don't say, okay, well, I'll put it back in. And then next time, whenever I'm actually decluttering this room, I will find that because I'm going to be going through everything. I try to just make it a thing that I'm always doing. It's like, I don't get stressed about wiping down the counter. It's just something that happens all the time. I don't get stressed about brushing mm-hmm. my teeth, washing my face. It's not something that I'm like, oh boy, later on tonight, I'm going to have to brush my teeth, you know?
Yeah.
So if it's something that's very much in your everyday habit, it also, you know, doesn't necessarily have to be this big overwhelming thing. And you're addressing it as you think about each item. So it's like a one touch thing. It's like, I'm not touching it, putting it away, touching it, putting away. I'm just one touch, realizing it's a problem and, you know, no longer needed for whatever reason and getting rid of it at that moment. That's what I'm trying to do in my home.
Oh yeah. I love that. And exactly one touch. It's so funny. Cause like, I was just doing some canning and I like had my jars and I brought them to the top of the stairs and I'm like, I'll just take these down next time. I'm like, just carry them down the stairs. It's like 30 seconds and
just do it.
Just do it now. And it's the exact all the time. Same with decluttering. So often people, like if you've, and I always just think back, I would always say, I'm getting organized. I'm going to get organized. And it was like, oh my gosh, like I'll do that next weekend because it's going to be such a big deal.
Big thing.
And now yes. I just, if you just make it like a 5 to 10 to 15 minute thing that you do every day or just like, and anchor it to something
anytime.
Like,
yeah,
you know, lunch before bed.
Oh yeah. We all know there are things in life that you have to compromise on. Maybe you're not in your dream farmhouse or your kids get some cake or candy at the grocery store. But when it comes to your health, there is no compromise. So don't go back to that one doctor who uses your appointment to catch up on the latest headlines or their family group chat just because they're available right now or they take your slightly sketchy insurance. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable, listen to you, and prioritize your health. And you can search by location, availability, and insurance. So literally no compromises here because with ZocDoc, you've got more options than you know. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. No more waiting awkwardly on hold with a receptionist. The typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 to 72 hours, and you can even score same-day appointments. Go to ZocDoc.com/farmhouse and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/farmhouse, ZocDoc.com/farmhouse. For many women, hormonal imbalances can be a huge problem, and that's why I'm really happy to tell you about today's sponsor, Happy Mammoth. Now, Happy Mammoth is offering 15% off your order over at HappyMammoth.com with the code FARMHOUSE. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is a formula that has been shown to support
healthy hormone balance. There are 12 natural ingredients that have been shown to work for women at different stages of their lives as they adapt to their body's unique needs. So it works to support hormonal balance, relieve symptoms of menopause, supports cortisol, estrogen, and progesterone levels, promotes healthy weight loss and curbs carb cravings, improves sleep quality, reduces occasional bloating and gas and hot flashes, and relieves mild mood swings and boosts energy. Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon. Women can't stop talking about it on social media, and a bottle sells every 24 seconds. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work. They make no compromises when it comes to quality. It contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens, which basically means they'll help the body adapt to any stressors like chaotic hormonal changes that can happen naturally throughout a woman's life. For a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire first order at happymammoth.com with the code farmhouse at checkout. That's happymammoth.com with the code farmhouse.
A habit stacking situation. Yeah. It's amazing because like you said, leaving stuff at the top of the stairs, every time you see that thing after that moment, it stresses you out and it's, you could have just taken it down. I do that all the time with stuff at the top of my stairs, the bottom of my stairs, whichever direction I'm going. And it makes more sense just to address it right then and there. Oh man, it's amazing though too, because I don't think I fully grasped the value in all of this. Whenever I was a young mom, I had an entire craft room that just had like bits and bobs and every last thing in there, and I couldn't even use the room. Mm-hmm. And it didn't like occur to me that I was sacrificing space for a bunch of junk, you know. And that's what we're doing right now with our basement. We have all of these storage totes. And we're finally like, enough. We're going to just minimize down to maybe 10 storage totes, maybe more, but they're going to fit on 2 metal shelving units. And the whole rest of the basement is going to be shelving for food storage, like bulk dried goods and whatnot. And to think all this time, it was just a bunch of junk down there that I didn't even want to go through. And whenever I was actually going through it, I found so many things that would have been really nice in the last couple of years that I didn't even know were there. And so really, if it's in my basement, it's kind of not really there. Have you experienced that?
Oh my gosh. It's so funny. Like, we moved into this house about 9 years ago now. And I remember I was at the chiropractor and he's like, everybody needs a box room after you move, where boxes live for a month or so. And I'm like, yeah. And then I thought, I had that box room for about 5 years, and you know, like anytime, and it's true, like every time you move, like things just stay in the box for a long time. And that's one of the things, like the minimalists, Joshua Nicodemus and Ryan, I got their names mixed up, but they talk about like the moving party. And you know, it's like you pack things up and then if you use them, you know, that's great. And it's the same, like if you have things after you've moved, they're in the box still and you go to look for them and they're not there, or you don't go to look for them, then you're not missing that thing.
Right.
And I say to people, like, you know, I call it the penalty box because I'm from Canada and hockey is like a big thing. Thank God my husband's not into it though. And I will, you know, like you just put something in there, and I say, if you want to be really bold, go ahead and tape that box shut. And if you don't go in looking for that in, you know, 3 to 6 months, whatever time you've decided, you can just go and donate the box without even opening it. Because that's so often what happens with when we've moved. And when you go to actually, like, if you're in the mood to declutter, like when I was in my like minimizing stage, I was just pulling out so many things and just like ruthlessly, like, oh my gosh, like, why did I keep this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's basements are, it's just so funny. Like, there's so much wasted space. There's so much wasted time. So much of our life is, you know, like as an emergency nurse, I've seen so many lives end early or not. But regardless, I always just think, like, I'm just so passionate about like people focusing on like food, water, and shelter. Mm-hmm. Shelter is your home. Shelter is your environment. Shelter is like where you're raising your kids. It's where you're spending time with your husband. It's where you're like relaxing at the end of the day. And why would we make our home taxing us. It's like with your food. If you want to eat healthy food that's good for your body, why would you have your home not good for your brain, which is then not good for your body because of the stress? Uh-huh.
Yeah. Let's talk about natural skincare. As a lot of us are trying to clean out our houses, our diets, skincare is something that is also really important because our skin is our body's largest organ, and what goes on the skin does actually make its way in and affect our health. So it's important to choose quality, but one problem I've had over the years with natural skincare companies or DIYs, I've tried making my own lip balms, face serums, cleansers. They're great, but they don't have the same effectiveness as the drugstore or the department store brands that are full of chemicals and things I don't want in my body. Tubes & Co. is an organic skincare company. It's a small company that uses all natural ingredients. So for example, I have this tallow balm sitting here on my desk or my dresser, which is my desk for the day, that is made from grass-fed tallow, virgin olive oil, essential oils, and that's it. It's super luxurious on my skin. I love it during these colder months because my skin tends to dry out and look really lifeless, but this product really nourishes it and brings it back to life. I also love Tubes & Co. makeup. I currently have on the Tubes & Co. eyebrow pencil, which is my favorite thing, the primer, the foundation, the mascara, for a really simple, low makeup, but yet not just my bare splotchy face look. I love Tubes & Co. makeup. It doesn't feel like I'm buying a healthy brand. It feels like really nice makeup that also happens to have extremely clean ingredients. You can check out Tubes & Co. and use the code FARMHOUSE for 10% off over at tubesandco.com. That's T-O-U-P-S and co.com. Again, don't forget to use the code FARMHOUSE for 10% off your order. We forget about that. We forget about the opportunity cost of the thing. All we think about is the actual cost. And there's so much guilt associated with having something that maybe already served its purpose, or you purchased it for a certain season of life, a certain project. So many reasons why you would have acquired something along the way that no longer fit into that plan later. Why mentally do we think that we have to keep this stuff? And that was one of the audience questions, was how to deal with the guilt, but then also finding the balance between decluttering but not being wasteful. That's usually the biggest thing I get accused of. And I know with you having a YouTube channel about minimalism, I'm sure you've heard it all in the comments at this point about that. So yeah, like, what is your solution for that?
You know, it's so funny when people think like, decluttering is wasteful, because I don't view decluttering as wasteful at all. I feel like keeping the things in your home that you're not using is far more wasteful, because
I agree.
First of all, somebody else could use it, and people, they love to give inanimate objects like human attributes, and they say, I feel sorry for this item. Well, if you feel sorry for the item, don't leave it living in a box, right? Same with sentimental things. Like if you have a sentimental thing, I mean, I have the odd sentimental thing that's in a cupboard, but most of them are out because I'm like, well, why wouldn't I enjoy them? They're sentimental, right? They're meaningful to me. I feel bad for the thing in the box. And there's so much guilt when it comes to decluttering, but I always say, like, if you're not using it, you're harming yourself because it's cluttering your environment. You're wasting it because somebody else could be using it one day. And then when we're living with, and this is a really funny one, is people hate when you throw anything away. Now, I'm all about recycling.
Yes.
Repurposing whenever possible. But sometimes things are garbage and people hesitate so much to put them in the garbage. And I'm like, so when you die, where do you think it's going to go? Somebody is going to put it in the garbage.
Yeah.
So would you rather live with this garbage now? Yeah. Or would you rather it be in the landfill now? I mean, and also sometimes things can be donated now before they're in disrepair and somebody can fix it or whatever.
Yeah. That's something that we struggle with in our house a lot. My husband especially, he hates, which I mean, nobody likes throwing stuff away, but I feel like he has like a, like it hurts him more than it hurts me. I don't honestly mind it that bad. And so he'll have stuff with holes or whatever. And he just does not want it to be thrown away. Like he knows it can't go to the donation shop at this point because it's past that, but he doesn't want to throw it away. And we live in this weird world where you either can spend a whole lot of money on stuff and it lasts a really long time, or you can buy stuff that's really cheap. And I'm like, you know what? We almost have to decide. Are we going to be the, are we going to try to like spend hundreds of dollars on each clothing item? Or are we going to be okay with when it wears out, throwing it away? And it's tricky because you also don't want to, you know, make your kids' play clothes cost hundreds of dollars. And ultimately stuff wears out, everything wears out. And so my solution with all of this not being wasteful is just being more mindful of the actual acquiring of things and trying some of those tactics where people give tips about like putting it in your cart and then seeing if you still need it after a while, or going around and making a mental list of all the things that didn't end up working out how you hoped that they would whenever you added it to your cart. And I'm saying added to your cart because we're modern. And so it's probably getting added to the cart as opposed to seeing it in the store and putting it in the cart. But seeing that and thinking, okay, how can I avoid thinking that this is going to change my life, make my life better before I get to the point where I realize it didn't and then have to get rid of it. But ultimately we can't be that guilty about it, or we're going to just have these homes that just drag us down.
Well, it's so funny too, because I don't know, it was like Christmas has happened and we have our son went to university, he's 18, and you know, I'll say like, oh, I feel guilty about this or that. And I said, do you, to my husband? And he's like, no. I'm like, do you feel guilty about anything ever? And he's like, not really. Like mom guilt is such a big thing. And I feel,
it is. It's so much worse.
And so I'll be like, oh no, like I bought that and I didn't use it, or I'm decluttering this and what a waste. And it's like, no, like this is an opportunity to learn. And why like beat ourselves up? The other thing is, like, so often we're keeping things. So you mentioned before the crafts and, or like leaving things at the top of the stairs to bring down. Those are called nagging unfinished tasks, also known as NUTS. And those actually can cause a higher level of stress than just say like a messy kitchen because you just cooked all day. Because it's like, oh yeah, like, and it just keeps like, it hits you over and over again. And it's the same with things that you buy that you're not using.
Yes.
So if you just go ahead, pull the trigger, make sure that you, and use it as a learning opportunity. Like I've bought things and thought like, oh my gosh, like, why did I buy that? Or, you know, I bought two turtlenecks last year and I didn't try them on because I hate trying clothes on.
Right.
And then I get to a different, you know, my home city and I'm like, oh, now I can't return these. Well, that was a waste of money, but I donated them because... and lesson learned.
Yeah, exactly. And you're going to go through life and you're going to make some mistakes about what you purchase every once in a while, but keeping them in your home isn't going to undo the bad purchase. That's the sunk cost fallacy. Right. It's not going to make it better. Mm-hmm. It's just going to make it to where you somehow think that someday in some weird circumstance, it's actually going to be the right thing. But all the while, it's just literally making your life worse. So it's hard to, it's, I think most of decluttering and keeping clutter is just psychological, right? Like that's kind of the whole thing.
Almost all of it is psychological, really.
Yeah.
I mean, if
yeah.
you could just go through it completely neutral and just be like, use it, don't use it, use it, don't use it, right? Like it's so.
Yes.
You know, and it is, it's just a psychological game. And so often, like, this is another thing that I talk about a lot is like patterns and habits. Like every time we go to declutter, where do you get stuck? Like, where do you always stop? What is it? What thing stops you? And it's like the overwhelm. Mm-hmm. Is it the sentimental things? Like I've got a quiz and, you know, I talk about nostalgia, momentum, indecision, and procrastination are really big things that keep people stuck. And for me, nostalgia, like I can put nostalgia on anything.
Yeah.
And it's just a matter of detaching that and just cutting that cord and saying like, no, like I am choosing my happiness and my health over this. And we just like put so much, I do anyway, put so much pressure on myself trying to be perfect. Like perfectionism is another huge thing that gets people stuck. when they're trying to declutter.
Mm-hmm. I was at my sister's the other day and we were talking about this because we both are in this mood right now, which what's with January? I don't know. But she was down in her basement and we both have like a memory bin. And she was telling me all the stuff she was throwing away. She was like, I threw away my cheerleading uniform. I threw away all my track medals. And here's why. She said, I always thought I'd keep this to show my kids. Well, my kids are the age now where I would have shown them and I didn't show them. Like, they don't care. I don't care. Nobody cares. Like, that was. And so then she's like, well, okay, if my kids are 11 and 9 and they're not, and I'm not showing them this stuff, then it's in the trash. I'm like, so you just threw it away? She's like, I just threw it away. I'm like, really? Like, I haven't done that yet. And I'm going to, because I have this beautiful basement. It's a stone foundation. We added lighting and it's a wasteland because of stupid stuff like that, like a memory bin with my track medals that my kids, I mean, so I told them that I used to run track. They're like, so what? You're 40. Like, I don't care. I'm not really, but whatever. Like, you're not doing it anymore. So yeah, it's realizing like, oh, I guess I'm not even gonna, what am I gonna do with this stuff?
It's interesting because like we go through different stages of life, right? And because like I said, like my oldest just went to university this year and he was like, when they reach that age, they are like ready to go. And you're basically like, when are you leaving? But at the same time, I was so sad. But I was sad about the stage of life I was in, not him leaving.
Oh,
I was
like,
oh,
oh, like, I know all about that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, we're driving down in North Vancouver and the Thomas the Train song popped into my head and I just start burst into tears. And I'm like, oh, I could see that. Like, right. And I'm like, do, 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 do. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like I'm so sad. And then I'm like, this is about me entering a different stage of life. And I was like, oh my gosh, I had so many epiphanies. And it's like, yes, like you save those track medals. So when you're like 15, even 18, you're like, I'm not getting rid of my track medals. And that's why it's great to just go back and reevaluate things.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that felt important at that time. And I guess like for her, she was going through her basement and she had the revelation like, oh wait, my kids are the age now where the thing I thought I'd do with these, I would do and I didn't. So they're gone, you know, and she was talking about all this other stuff she was throwing away. And I'm like, did you tell your husband that? And she's like, he'll never know. I'm like, okay. So like now, but she has this redeemable space that she can use for the real stage of life that she's in. And that's what I'm always thinking, like, what am I giving up to keep this stuff? Like, what is it that actually could happen here if it wasn't for this? Because there's so many times we think, oh, I can't do that. I don't have this. I don't have that. And it could just be like the clutter, you know, in our homes. So it's tricky.
Yeah.
And it's,
and you, like, we can't hold on to the past. Like,
yes,
as much as we want to, we can't. And like, it's like everybody probably thinks about how they're going to die every single day. Like, I know I do. I don't want to, but I do. And it's just like one day I'm like, yep. And it's like, that is a huge part of why people struggle so much with letting things go, because you're acknowledging that that is done.
True.
Like my oldest moved out of the house. He's not a child anymore.
Yeah. He might move back like for, you know, little short times here and there, but like, he's never going to be living in your house, fully embracing that life anymore. Like, he might move in for, you know, short times, but like that season's over. And I know just what you're talking about, because I think about that all the time. The thing that I reminisce about is my very young motherhood when it was brand new and I just had a couple of kids. And it's not that I want to go back there. I love having 8 children. I love having teenagers and all of that. But that time was so sweet and I didn't know it would end. And I know that sounds so, so dumb, because of course I did know it would end, but I didn't, I really didn't think it would end. I don't know how else to describe it. Like, it was, a time where I'd put my 2 little girls in the stroller and we'd go on walks for 4 miles and we meet up with friends and their little play groups. And like, I still have little kids, but I'm older. The moms that I hung out with then, their kids are like teenagers in school. I kept having them. So I still have little kids, but I also have, it's just so different and I never saw it coming. And so I think sometimes it is that we're mourning the stage of life that we're no longer in. And that's why we're holding on to things. That makes a lot of sense.
Well, and it's funny too, because I was just thinking, I watched Saturday Night Live in the 90s and the early 2000s. And so I just found
Yeah, same.
Did you? So David Spade and Dana Carvey have this awesome podcast, and I have been binging it this week. And, you know, I was thinking, so Dana Carvey's 68 and David Spade's like 58. And I'm like, oh yeah, like they're older. And then I thought back to myself when I was like 30, and I thought, and it was somebody was talking about being 30, and I thought, oh my gosh, like so young, like enjoy it. And I'm like, Robin, you're 44, like enjoy that. And it's just like, how do we live in the present?
yeah. Right? Yeah. That's,
it's just, it's all a mind game.
Yeah. The current age you are is always old, right? But then like but when you were, you know, now looking back, like none of those ages were old, but yet, yeah.
Yeah.
I know just what you mean.
That's so true.
I feel the same way. All right, we'll take a quick break from this awesome conversation to tell you about my 5-day blogging business challenge. So if you followed along for a while, you might know that Luke and I have done this exclusively from home, the blog business, for over 5 years now. He quit his job and we run my blog. Now, I also have since added, of course, a podcast. I have a YouTube channel, but the blog in itself could support our family. And I love the passive income that the blog provides. It's the least invasive for our family life. It's the easiest thing to work around. If I had to get rid of every aspect of my business, the blog would be the last to go. I love to help students learn how to do this for their own families, for their own idea, their own business, with my 5-day blog challenge. So this is 5 days to narrow down your niche, craft your brand, and come up with a content plan for a successful blogging business. Blogging is one of those things that people think is dead, and I'm here to tell you that it is the most profitable part of my business, so it is so not dead. But the reason B, they think that, is because there's a strategy to it. It's not just a journal anymore. That kind of content's reserved for Instagram, for YouTube. It's different, but as big of an opportunity as ever. So if you are interested in figuring out, or you're just curious, it's totally free, about blogging, you can join my challenge by heading to bit.ly/5-day-blog-challenge. That's bit.ly/5-day-blog-challenge. It's case sensitive, so all lowercase. All right, hope that is helpful for you.
Taking a quick break to tell you about an awesome podcast sponsor, Cozy Earth. I have been sleeping in my Cozy Earth bamboo pajamas every single night. I put them in the washer and dry them so that they're ready again because I cannot wait to go to bed in them. They are just so comfortable. Cozy Earth is offering Simple Farmhouse Life listeners 35% off your order with the code FARMHOUSE. Cozy Earth offers bedding products that will transform your sleep. Currently, I wake up 4 or 5 times every night to nurse the baby, and so it's important to me that I have a comfortable bed to get back into to fall asleep more quickly because my sleep can be so interrupted. Cozy Earth bedding is temperature regulating and it has superior softness. All products come with a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty. Incorporating Cozy Earth products into your self-care routine can enhance your sleep quality and overall wellness. Treat yourself to the ultimate in comfort and indulgence with Cozy Earth bedding and sleepwear and prioritize your self-care and sleep. You can head on over to CozyEarth.com and use the code FARMHOUSE for an exclusive 35% off. Go get your mom the luxury she deserves at CozyEarth.com with the promo code FARMHOUSE.
I take great care in my home to source products that are healthy, natural, organic, that will promote overall health. Alongside cooking from scratch, there are some foundational things like clean water and clean air that are as important as any of these other things. Americans take about 20,000 breaths per day and spend an average of 90% of their time indoors. My kids, they spend a ton of time outside, but I spend a lot of time inside cooking. I try to keep the window open, but still, the indoor air that we breathe can be up to 100 times more polluted than outdoor air, according to the EPA. Indoor air pollutants can cause respiratory symptoms like sneezing, congestion, scratchy throat, and even more serious health problems like lung and heart disease. So what is the solution for this? I want to tell you about this podcast sponsor, Air Doctor, the air purifier that filters out 99.99% of dangerous contaminants so your lungs don't have to.
This includes allergens, pollen, pet dander, dust mites, mold spores, and even bacteria and viruses. We have an indoor cat, we have pollen, and who knows what else around our house. So this just gives me peace of mind knowing that Running Air Doctor will get rid of 99.99% of dangerous contaminants. Air Doctor comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund minus shipping. Head to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code FARMHOUSE, and you'll receive up to $300 off air purifiers. Exclusive to podcast customers, you will also receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. Lock this special offer by going to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code FARMHOUSE.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about some of the practical things, like in the kitchen. So somebody asks, we do a little Q&A over on Instagram, how can you be a minimalist and have all the kitchen tools needed for cooking from scratch? Since I started cooking from scratch, it seems like I have no room anymore in my pantry and kitchen because of all the needed equipment. I know you're a from scratch cook too.
I am. And, you know, and I used to, as a quick aside, I would look at my grandma, like the one who moved out of the house, and she had all this, everything you could ever need in the kitchen. And I aspired to that. And that was one of those emotional things where I'm like, I'm going to be like grandma. And that was one of the hardest things, was decluttering my kitchen and letting go of like a silicone bundt pan that I never used, right? It's like yes. The aspirational stuff. Mm-hmm. So I like to call myself minimalist light. I am not like Joshua Fields, Milburn, and Ryan Nicodemus. I have some things. I have hobbies. I cook. I have a pasta roller. I have, you know, a microplane. I have a citrus zester or squeezer. And I'm a gardener. I have garden things. So I have things.
Yes.
But I keep things that I only use. And I love the idea of if, and I'm lucky because we moved into this house and it has a nice big kitchen, which is great. But it's not full. And that is because I evaluate what I'm using and what I'm not using. Mm-hmm. And if I haven't used it within the last year, you know, like it, for example, my ice cream maker, I used it last summer. So I'm like, all right, I'm hanging on to it for another year. But if ever I don't use it, that sucker's gone.
We better make some ice cream soon because we love that
it's
thing.
A matter. Oh my gosh, right? And like, if you can find things that can do multiple things. So for example, my Vitamix actually died. I had a Vitamix for over 10 years and it died. And I was mm-hmm. like, yay, I can buy the one that has the attachment for the food processor. So one day when my son moves into a house, you know, like with his girlfriend, I will be like, here's my food processor. And then I'm going to get the one that attaches to the Vitamix, because then it will take up even less space, because then I don't need the base. And it takes time. It's like the Instant Pot, you know, like that can do multiple things. And some people, they're like, well, I need a rice cooker. And I'm like, you do what works for you. But don't feel like you need to declutter everything in order to call yourself a minimalist.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you use something, keep it. If it's saving you time, for goodness sakes, keep it.
Yes. I've heard of the term essentialist, and that's like what you need for it to, like what you understand what it means. But basically, I mean, who cares about the title, right? Like, I just want my home to function in a way that doesn't stress me out, that isn't too hard to manage, that every day I don't have this moment where I'm like, all I do is clean. And I've had those times of life where every day at some point I break down and I say, all I do is clean this house. And you know what it is? It's too much stuff. When I don't have too much stuff, I don't find myself saying that. And that's another reason too, with like all the kitchen stuff that we are doing, our big basement thing, is I'm going to keep certain items that I use at certain seasons. So like, we have a cheese press. The cow is not currently in milk. We actually had to dry her off, which I haven't really talked about yet. But last spring, I needed that cheese press every single day. I'm not getting rid of the cheese press. I'm going to put it in my big basement pantry area, because I really value clear countertops. I don't even like to leave the toaster out. If people make toast, you make the toast, you put it back. I cannot stand seeing stuff on my countertops that aren't like, you know, bread rising or maybe a bouquet of flowers and some eggs. Other than that, it's got to go. my mixer, a few other things, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm going to make a different space down in the basement for extra milk jars. Cause right now we don't need the amount of milk jars we needed before. And they're all cluttering up my pantry, but I'm not going to get rid of them because I definitely am going to need them again. But I think, you know, just getting it into a place that's more manageable and then being honest with things, like you said, that silicone bundt pan, if I had that, I'd have to get rid of that too, because I'm not going to use that.
Yeah.
Regularly anyways.
Yeah. And it's funny because like I just started getting into to canning a few years ago. So every time I buy something, this is the important thing is going like, where am I going to put this?
Yes.
Do I need this? Am I going to be decluttering this soon? Like I bought one of those big roasters and I was like, oh my gosh, like this thing is huge.
Yeah.
And of course, like I keep it in the basement. Like it has a spot. Right. You know, I talked about like, we have extended food storage because like I said, we live in an earthquake zone and you know, like who knows what's happening in this world. So I want to make sure there's some food, you know, like you just because you want to live with less doesn't mean like you're going to live with like completely less. And another option is like, I have this roaster. Well, if my mom was like, I need a roaster, I'd be like, use mine. So lending and borrowing, and people get so upset when I say this because they're like, I would never lend somebody my like all American pressure canner. And I'm like, I wouldn't either, but I will lend out my bolt cutters that I'm so proud that I got for $18, you know, or yeah. Like something like where's the community of like, you have your cheese press, perhaps you would let your sister use it.
Yes,
you know,
if right. She lived
nearby. And it's like, community. So there's that too.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think everybody knows like what things really belong there and what things maybe could go. It's just a matter of looking and assessing each thing. And not everybody has a different place to put something. Like for me, I feel like the basement's going to really help things because it will be a very nice out of sight place to keep the things that I will use, you know, in less than a year's time, as opposed to just getting rid of it all and then buying it back. Like, I'm not going to do that. But there are definitely certain things that don't need to be sitting up in my upstairs pantry every single day. You know, you know the balance of that. And I don't feel like with from scratch cooking, I really have that many more things. I mean, I can't even think of, like, you have to have a Dutch oven if you're going to do sourdough. I think that's pretty important. An Instant Pot, I had one for a while, didn't have one for a while, just got one back. I do enjoy having it, but you know, I don't really feel like there's that many things you have to have for cooking from scratch any more than you would just for cooking anything, really.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it's just a matter of prioritizing.
Yes. Okay. So what to do about all the craft, baking, et cetera, things you collect and need but aren't using right now. So I can think of like a couple examples. Someone from church gave us cupcake liners. Like she had her whole collection and she gave them to us. And something like that, you know, like where does that fall with you? Because we would use those probably sometime. Like over the years, we will use those. But in the meantime, there's not really a great place for them. What do you do about all those kind of things?
You know, one thing I will say, people say like, what if I declutter something and I make a mistake? And, you know, first of all, there was very few things you could declutter that you would like seriously regret. But one thing I decluttered was I had these big 2-liter gallon jars. I don't know what size. Gallon jars for making kombucha. I decluttered 6 of them because I was like, I'm done making kombucha. Like I was tired. It was winter. And then a year later, I was like, oh, I want to make it again. So I had to repurchase it. I don't regret that because, I mean, yes, it was like a waste of $30, but I didn't have to deal with 6 big glass jars kicking around my house for a year and a half. Now, if it was going to be 6
for a whole year
or year and a half. Yeah. And like, if I knew that I was going to go back into making kombucha, I would not have decluttered them, but it happens, right? So don't beat yourself up. Now, if there are things that you know you'll be using again, I wouldn't declutter them.
Right.
That's where you do get into the waste, unless you're going to declutter them onto Marketplace and then repurchase them from Marketplace for like the exact same thing. Like say, you know, like to use an example, although I would never do this, but like your All American Pressure canner because the value holds. But Other than that, I would keep things that I do plan on using again. That's why I say, like, I'm minimalist light. Like, I do have some things set aside. I don't want to be wasteful, but at the same time, I don't want to be surrounded by a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. And it all depends on, too, how good you are at organizing everything and how much stuff you have, if you can organize it. Because if you can't find it back, then you should have just gotten rid of it a year and a half ago. And that's kind of where I fall. I don't feel like anybody in my family is super organized. Yeah. We all kind of just let things land where they land. We're all bad about it. Like, I get on my kids because I'll see something out by the swing set. I'm like, get your coat, get your shoes. And then I notice myself doing the same kind of stuff. Like, my brain doesn't always, mm-hmm. you know, coordinate with my hand when I'm doing things. And so we can't keep as much stuff as, say, my sister, whose mind is fully, like, she's fully attached to what she's doing. Like, she doesn't do those kind of absent-minded things. And she also is very organized, and all of her family is too. And so they can manage more stuff than us with ease. Whereas I have learned over the years that my kids inherited that from me and my husband, and none of us can manage a lot. And so if we even have extra, we don't really have it because we literally cannot find it.
Yeah. And in my house, 80% of us, including me, have ADHD in my house. Like, there's one kid without it.
Yeah. Maybe we'd call it that. I don't really know.
Well, yeah.
My brain doesn't always go to the meeting with my hands when I'm doing stuff.
And that's just it. So it's like, yeah, like, we can only handle so many things. And I have one kid, he is so multi-passionate, like the amount of things that he has on the go. But then it's like,
oh, yes.
Maintaining that. And like, where is that focus? Like, I painted, you know, the picture behind me, and then I like saved my paints. And I was like, am I going to paint again? Well, I'm not really in a stage of life right now where I have a lot of time to paint. I have enough hobbies. So maybe I'm just going to go ahead and like declutter those. First of all, like, they'll dry up. So that's a great thing to say. I can let those go.
Yeah, it'll go
back. Repurchase it one day. But yeah, you know, like, there's no right or wrong answer for anything. But, and I, like you said, if storage is an issue for you, I would not be hanging on to things, especially if I can get them back.
Yeah, it's such an issue for us. Like, we're just terrible at it. I actually bought a label maker because I do want to, on those two racks I was talking about in the basement, get things in bins where I actually can know what's in it. But then we'll do stupid stuff where we'll label something, and then one day when we're really just like quickly trying to swap out like winter and summer, I'll like throw a couple life jackets in where the winter was and grab out the snow pants. Yep. And then like everything's all jumbled up and it says like Johanna on the side and it's Christmas stuff. And so, and I know that's just laziness in that moment of trying to get something done really fast, but I've done this enough years to know that I can't handle that kind of stuff. It's not worth keeping for me.
Yeah, that's why I don't even do, I do labels on the Christmas bins, but even then I'm not 100% consistent. But yeah, it's, people have said to me about like kids putting things away, put labels up. I'm like, first of all, I don't want to look at them, especially in the kitchen. But also I'm like, it won't work. Like, it's not going to work.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, well, that would require, because I labeled all the shoe bins. Like, I'm like, this is going to change my life, you know? And I'm like, well, it still requires everybody to put the shoes when they take them off into the bin that says their name. It's not like a foolproof system. I'm hoping the label maker thing sort of helps in the basement, but I'm probably gonna end up decluttering that stupid thing. I mean, we'll see.
Yeah.
I'll learn my lesson with that, but I'm going to try like one last ditch effort to see if I can maybe, you know, I do the same thing with spices. I have all these spices labeled, and before you know it, it says like fennel and then it's black pepper in it. Cause I, at one point, was like, I'm just going to dump this in here really quick. I'm not a naturally clean person. And so minimalism or essentialism, whatever you want to call it, minimalist light is kind of the only way I can operate and not hate my home, hate my life, like trying to keep track of 10 people's things.
Yeah. I know, I laugh about the spices because I have like a rack and I'm always like, I'm alphabetizing them. And I'm always like, just randomly put things back. I'm like, oh, where the heck is a human?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I know.
Okay. So any like words of encouragement, tips as we start 2024 and maybe we want to streamline our lives, make our homes easier to live in? And then tell everybody also where they can get way more inspiration from you. I'm looking through your YouTube and you have like, I think something you could put in your ear, one could put in their ear while decluttering all the things. You're very motivational.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you. You know, I would just say choose a spot that is not going to completely overwhelm you, but choose a spot to declutter that you're going to see a lot. I love to start with the junk drawer. It gets messy very quickly, like even mine. And you can do that. And then you can walk by and open it and be like, oh my gosh, that looks so good. Or, you know, like the dining room, I say like, don't necessarily go to the garage. The kitchen can work depending on your level of like sentimentality. But if you can avoid being overwhelmed, start a small spot and then chip away at it every single day. Just do a little bit and don't make a big deal out of it and make it fun.
Right.
I always put AirPods in. I will be listening to, you know, Simple Farmhouse Life in my AirPods. I will be listening to books, whatever, so that when that timer, you know, goes, I'm like, oh, like I might even just keep going. Or, you know, it's almost something you look forward to. And then when you're done that one spot, stay in that one spot, pick another spot, pick like the next slightly harder spot and just slowly work your way. Because if you do even 30 minutes a day for a year, that's 182 and a half minutes.
Yes.
In that year. And that's, or not minutes, hours, 182 and a half hours. That's so much time.
Stacking that up.
And people, they go, oh gosh, like don't say it's going to take a year. And I'm like, well, how long have you been trying to declutter? Like, just spend that little bit of time. And even if you want to bump it down to 15 minutes, in my membership, they have a thing, they've started it, they call it Team 15, and they 15 minutes a day, they do it. That's 90 hours a year, right? Like, that's a lot that you can get done during that time. So just chip away at it.
I think I'd be all the way done by then. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If we're just consistent. Yep. And it's hard to be consistent. So it's a matter of like habit stacking and then just like doing it. So I love that. And you can find me on my blog at minimalisthome.ca or my website, or sorry, my YouTube channel, Minimalist Home. And I even have a podcast now. So you can find me all over the place.
Oh. Are you Minimalist Home on your podcast as well?
Yes. And Pinterest. Minimalist Home, please, on Instagram. But cool. Instagram is not my, it's not my favorite.
It's not mine either.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. It's like it's everybody else's favorite. It's definitely, definitely not mine. So I feel you there, but awesome. Well, that is very encouraging. I think that people are ready for this because like I said, we live in this weird time where we just have so much stuff. It's so easy to come by and it's just, I mean, not everything's easy to come by, but like a lot of things are. And so we end up with too much and
oh my gosh.
Yeah. Thanks for the inspiration, the encouragement to bring, get our homes back.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's just been very fun chatting with you and I've been enjoying your content for a long time. So this has been a real treat.
Awesome. Well, thank you. Well, I hope that this episode encouraged you. I know that it did me. I'm ready to even simplify more. All the things I realized that I've sacrificed for items. One thing we've been saying in our home is, what was it? Peace over possessions. That's right. I know I heard that on the internet somewhere, but we've been saying it a lot around here. And Robin has so much encouragement over on her YouTube channel and her website. We will leave links to all of that in the show notes below or description box, depending on where you're watching this. As always, thank you so much for watching or listening. And I will see you in the next episode of the Simple Farmhouse Life podcast.